Jill Wolf. I am 36 years old. Today is January 30th, 2016. We are at the Chicago Cultural Center, and I'm with my friend Maggie.
I'm Maggie McGeehee. I'm 34 years, 11 months old. It's January 30th, 2016, at the Chicago Cultural Center with my friend and co-activist, Jill.
Tell me what you remember about the first time that we met.
Sure. We met yesterday for the first time in person, but I've been your friend for a year, and it feels like a thousand years.
Yeah.
And I met you because of hepatitis C. In May 2015, I was diagnosed with hep C. The first thing that happened to me is I was terrified for my life. I was going to die. I was also afraid of hurting everybody that I loved. So it's transmittable blood to blood. So I was mostly worried about my parents, my brother, my ex-husband, my girlfriend at the time. Thankfully, all of them turned out to be not infected. But at the time, that was my biggest worry. So I'd been bugging my parents to go get tested, find out if you have this. And they kept not going. And I think they were super scared. They wouldn't say that, but I know for sure they were scared. And they live in Portland, Oregon. And they were walking at the Blues Fest one day, so a music festival on the waterfront, and saw a big banner that said, "Get tested here today for hepatitis C." They kept walking for a few steps. And I think one of them probably turned to the other and said, "That seems like that was literally a sign that we should probably go get tested for hepatitis C right now." And they went back, and you were the person there, you and your friend and colleague Lauren, and you tested them. My mom, as she described it to me later, she talked to you both for hours and hours, and that you were both amazing, and I should call you guys, because at the time I was in the really deep, dark place, because I didn't think I had any hope. And I didn't have any way of getting treated, and I had this sudden disease that made me other and sick and infected. And she told me to call you, and I was like, Mom, no. And finally I called you, and I'm so glad I did. You should listen to your mom, everyone out there, and listen to your mom, because you're the first person I talked to. It'd been about 4 weeks since I was diagnosed. I'd talked to doctors, I'd talked to nurses, nurse practitioners, I'd done research on my own. And you're the first person I talked to that made me feel like I had any hope at all. And also, I felt like I was a person again, and that I had agency in my own life.
We became instant friends on that phone call. I mean, what surprised me about it was at the Blues Fest that you mentioned, I mean, we test hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember people, but I remember your parents. I'm a pretty passionate person and can come on strong. And I think I inundated your mom with information. It was like, have your daughter call me. And I wanted you to call me. How long did it take for you?
That was probably two more weeks, I think, before I called you.
We had a lot in common.
We did. You're a musician. I'm a musician. We think the same things are funny. We kind of have the same sense of humor. We talk about the things the same way, and the same things make us mad. And what really struck me about you is that you're really upfront about, so specifically with hep C. It's this disease that is now curable. It's not just treatable. You can cure people that have it. You can cure the whole world. And in fact, you could eradicate this disease from the planet. But the drug companies have priced the cure way too high, and insurance companies are refusing to cover it. So there's this whole system is against every individual who has hep C, every individual who might have hep C, and then really the whole world. And I had been so angry about that, but I was sitting in my house just for about a month, just barely leaving, not sleeping, just being awake all the time, being angry, but kind of that was all inside. And then I would go to doctor's appointments and be polite and like be with an authority and be a patient and be a person that was being treated, and I would be so small but feel so much anger. And I talked to you on the phone, and you were mad and you were swearing and you were real, and it helped me realize that I should be mad and I should be angry, and that I could just be that up front, and that I didn't have to hide that, and that it would also be more effective than just being silent.
Tell me, if you can, in your artistic way, you got this diagnosis, and it was probably a relatively sort of long process to get there. But I'm curious, what was that like for you to get this diagnosis of hepatitis C?
First, it was shocking. So what happened was in April 2015, I donated blood, and it's the first time I was able to do that. I'd gone in the past when you donate blood, they test first just your iron levels. And I have pretty low iron. I'm a vegetarian. I'm a woman. Women tend to have lower iron. And I just never made it past that little finger prick test. So in April, for whatever reason, I decided to go back down to the blood mobile when it came by my work. And I made it through the test. I had the minimum iron, donated a pint of blood. And there's a letter among all my mail that had piled up from the blood bank. And I just assumed it would be like, thank you for donating blood. Please give us more blood later. And instead it said, dear Maggie, as you know, the blood bank tests all donations for various illnesses. At the time of your donation, your blood tested positive for hepatitis C antibodies. And they also double tested for RNA, which means I was definitely exposed at one time, and then they tested to make sure, and then the RNA test showed that I still had it. It's most likely you're infected with hepatitis C. And I was standing in my living room reading it. My whole body is froze and was tingly at the same time, and like fear descended, but also it didn't make any sense. Like, no, there's no way I have this. Like, that, my cursory understanding at that time, all I knew about it was you get this from injecting drugs. I'd never done that. Like, I had straight A's in school, and I have straight A's through college and grad school, and I have a good job, and I've done everything right. Like, there's no way. It turns out my risk factor was I was born in 1981, and I was born 2 months early. So I was a preemie living in the neonatal intensive care unit, the NICU, and I needed multiple blood transfusions to live. So it turns out I was infected with hepatitis C, and through this blood that saved my life. So it's this incredible just image of the blood coming in, keeping me alive, and traveling with it was this virus. So I was probably infected the day I was born. And so I'm turning 35 next month. And so I had Hep C for 34 years and 11 months. And I have gotten treatment. So I'll be turning 35 and I won't have it anymore. Mm. The reason that you had such an impact on me is because you were yourself on that phone call, that very first phone call. Instead of talking to a social worker or a doctor, a provider, an insurance person who's very sorry, like, I was talking to a real person. And you spoke to me like just a totally normal conversation. As if we had known each other forever. And I remember you swore a lot, and that made me feel so comfortable because you were comfortable just being like all out there, way up front with just yourself. And that has helped me be more comfortable being out there just myself, because I saw that how powerful it is when someone is real with you. And then I started becoming more myself, more real with everyone.
Well, thanks. That makes me feel good being me. Sometimes I don't, but that makes me feel good.
Good.